Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, and I'm excited to have my first guest joining me via the phone lines. He may even be at the Adams County Fair. I'm not quite sure. Grayson Tedrow is on the line. Good morning, Grayson.
How are you?
I am fine. Now, I haven't seen you since you were a wee lad. You are coming on today to help educate me about swine, and in particular, the showing of swine. But please give a shout out to your parents, because I know that you wouldn't be doing any of the things you're doing today without some help and encouragement from those parents. So please tell us all about yourself and who your parents are.
Oh, absolutely. And well, my name is Grayson Tedrow. I live in Quincy, Illinois. We raise show pigs and live on a row crop farm raising corn and soybeans. And Mary, you're 100% right. I wouldn't be doing anything that I've been doing without the help and support of my parents. And I mean, as far as running to shows, helping me with chores while I'm gone, Dad's been absolutely incredible with that. And then as far as Mom goes, is the hardest working person that I've ever met, and has taught me to do so myself. So anything that I've done with pigs or anything in the last 20 years of my life has undoubtedly been because of the work ethic and the opportunities that they have presented to me. And I honestly will never be able to thank them enough for all that they've done for me and the work ethic that they've instilled in me, because it'll something that'll live with me forever. And I hope that I can do the same thing for my kids one day.
That is great. Of course, I know your mother very well, your dad not as well, but she's great at juggling about 14 different activities at once. And that probably is a good trait to emulate in her. Grayson Tedrow, you're on today because I have a problem. I cannot wrap my mind around the following question. Okay, I liken it to this. I go to a basketball game, and the coach isn't wearing the same uniform as the players. I go to a football game, and the coach isn't wearing the same uniform as the players. I go to a baseball game, and the guy comes out of the dugout, he's in the same uniform as the players. So that doesn't make sense to me. I go to a farm show at the county fair. The beef producers are leading around their animals with a halter. The equine has a halter on their animal, but you go to the swine barn and everybody is just using a little rod or stick to herd their swine. Why can't you put a harness on a pig? Tell me why you don't use harnesses on pigs.
Well, I always love that question, because I spend a lot of time around the cattle. I spend a lot of time around the goats, and people got halters on their animals, and then they come and watch a pig show, and they're like, "This is craziness. What are you guys doing? Why don't you guys make this more organized?" But it takes so much of the time, and that we use our whip to train the pigs, and it takes so much time before the show, before they come to the fair, before they go to state fair, wherever they're going. It takes so much time and work and training to get those pigs handling how you want them to. And it just all goes back to how much time that those kids are spending with those pigs before they come to the show, and how much work that they're really putting in. Because when you get to the show, you can really tell. You can tell that there's the kids that really put in the work. And that's really fun to see. So, yeah, it's a lot of controlled craziness and chaos, but it all makes sense to me. In my head, it works, but I can see from another perspective how some people might not be able to see it that way. But it's controlled craziness, I promise. But it is organized, I can assure you of that.
Well, pigs are so smart. Somebody said, you know, the pig will show itself. All you have to do is kind of guide it in the way it will go, and keeping it in its natural, you know, its natural environment, letting it maybe trot or run, and then trying to control it, slow it down, keep its head up, all of those things. You know, cattle just can't be taught that, really. Sometimes it's hard to even break them to a halter. And so when you're out there in the show ring, obviously, there's one judge, maybe two judges, but they're looking at all this chaos at once. And I know when I go to horse shows, boy, one of the things you can do is you can kind of cut inside the corner and get your horse in front of another horse so that the judge only sees your horse and doesn't see the other horse back against the rail. And there's all these little tricks in the horse world, you know, kind of some people say that's not fair, but that's all fairs in love and in horse showmanship, I guess. What is it? What are you trying to do when you're in the pig ring? What are you trying to get that pig to do to make that judge say, that's the blue ribbon pig?
Well, when it comes to showmanship, as far as in the ring, there's a lot of things that can be worked on. And like I mentioned before, things that can be worked on at home. But when that judge is looking at that animal, whether it be the pig, the calf, the horse, whatever, they're looking at the quality of his, the structure of how well that animal's built and how much quality that it has for wherever its endpoint may be. So there's a lot of things when you're walking into a ring, you're wanting to make sure that judge sees all the angles of that pig so she can get the best read or a look at him that they can. So the better that you show off those angles of all around of your animal, the better chance you're going to have of shooting up the ladder as far as winning that blue ribbon. But, yeah, there's a lot of things that can be worked on at home in terms of making sure that that pig is in your control, because you got to be in control of the pig and not the other way around. But as far as if you can keep that pig driven and show the angles to that judge and they can see what they're needing to look at, no doubt you'd be able to catch yourself a blue ribbon.
And, of course, I was reading a little bit this morning about that little whip that you use, or that stick. It's not to be cruel to the animal. In fact, it's an extremely gentle touch, because you don't really want to startle them, and you never want to hit them really on the back, because that'll cause them to arch their back, and you don't want an arched back. You want that flat, straight line, right?
100%. Yep, you hit it on the head, and that whip. I mean, I think that's a big misconception that some people have, and when they come to the show and they see these kids hitting the pigs with the whips, and they're thinking, I mean, they're just having sympathy. I guess I understand that, but I think if you look at, if you watch it long enough, and you really understand that those kids aren't necessarily just there to harm the pigs. That's not the reason that we're doing this at all. It's more so just to guide that pig, kind of like we had mentioned. That's kind of our halter, you know. I mean, kids can lead a calf or a goat around on a halter, and we just use this the whip to guide the pig around how we need him to. But absolutely not. It's not there to hurt the pig at all. No, ma'am.
No, and show pigs are probably better cared for than some people I know. You know, you've got to keep them in top physical condition and wash them and everything else. Here's now, I'm not this bad, Grayson Tedrow, so don't think I'm actually asking this question for myself. But I have taken my city slicker friends to horse shows and dog shows. And, you know, the third class will be coming in. They go, why is it the same horse over and over again? I said, no, it's all different horses. You just can't tell them apart because, you know, you don't understand. When a lot of people look at a pig, like you're going to be out at the county fair and kids are going to walk by, and, oh, I like the pink one, or, oh, isn't the black one cute, or I like the white one. Obviously, pig breeds have different colorations and different varieties. It has nothing to do, really, with the color, right, of the pig. That's not something that the show judge is looking for, right?
No, it really doesn't. And if anything, it can almost just be used as an identifying term for them. Because if you come to the fair and you see, if you're there during the show, that judge will be talking on the microphone and they'll be describing each pig as they're talking about them. And if anything, in the color wise, it's just an identifying term, as if there's like a Duroc Barrow, well, then this one's the Red Barrow or the Duroc Barrow or the spot gilt or wherever. So no, it's the color of the pig isn't necessarily what they're judging off of. It's more so the color of the pig is just an identifying term that they can use to better describe that animal.
Grayson Tedrow, what breed of pigs do you raise, and what are your plans? Because I understand you're graduated from high school and you're heading out.
Yes, ma'am. Well, we raise mainly spots, crossbreds, and we have a few Hampshire hogs as well. And my family, we've raised, or my uncle and my grandpa, they raised pigs back in the 90s, and they mainly ran spotted hogs. And when everybody that thinks, I'm sure that's listening, thinks of a pig, they just think about that white up-eared pig, and that's the Yorkshire, and that's just kind of what a lot of people's minds go to. And then the other one might be the Hampshire, which is just the belted hog. So there's a lot of different kinds of variations of breeds that people can raise, but for whatever reason, my family and me have always loved the spot hog. And that's just where a lot of our focus lays, and I think we can continue to grow that, because that's really where I really love them. And then as far as my plans go, I did graduate from high school a couple of years ago, and I've been going to John Wood for the past 2 years, and I just finished up there this past May, and I'm excited to say I'm going to Oklahoma State this fall to study animal science and hopefully meet people that share the same passion that I do, and not only the show pigs, but just the livestock industry as a whole. Because you were right when you said that I might be sitting here at the county fair. I'm sitting here helping my friends show cows this morning, so I really like to get out and venture outside of the pig barn. As much as I love it, I do love to go over and watch the cattle show and help my friends show sheep or whatever it may be, because as in the livestock world as a whole, we all really share the same passion as far as animal husbandry and caring for those animals. And you did kind of mention earlier, and you hit it nail on the head, because some of these animals are cared for better than some of that we treat ourselves. And it's funny to see, because we show up here at 5 o'clock in the morning to get these calves in the barn, and then we got to go wash them, and then we got to blow dry them, and then we got to fit them up and put their makeup on to go into the show. Not literal makeup, but theoretical makeup to go into the show to present them as best as they can. So yeah, just the livestock world as a whole, we all share the same passion as far as caring for those animals and really loving to do the same thing. So I'm excited to go to Oklahoma State and meet a lot of people that share that same passion as I.
Well, we hope that when you graduate from Oklahoma State, we want the best for you, but we hope you do return, perhaps, and have some aspect in your generational family farm. Grayson, thank you for educating me today. Highest respect I have for your parents, and now meeting you as a young adult after having seen you as a little boy, I can see that you've grown into quite a fine young man. So always carry this tri-state region with you, and we wish you all the success at Oklahoma State. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I was excited to get to Texas this morning, and I really love educating people of all levels about what we do in the livestock industry. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. The future of our nation is secure. Grayson Tedrow for Secretary of Agriculture sometime soon. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk Boy Scouting, and then we're going to talk Legacy Theater. So you stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, and we're going to talk with Tom Robbins from the Legacy Theater in just a moment. But first, we have a wonderful Boy Scout executive here, Matthew Dolman. Scouting, I'm still having trouble. I'm still saying Boy Scouting. That's okay, though. There's Girl Scouting as well. But Matthew, tell us a little bit about yourself as a scouting executive, and then talk a little bit about back to school and getting kids ready for Boy Scouts, and get right up to that microphone if you don't mind.
Well, hey, thanks, Barry. First of all, I really appreciate you having me this morning. And so I am very blessed to be a part of the local scouting program. And so I spent the last 13 years in the Army, and just most recently came back to Quincy. And I'm very excited to get back involved in the scouting program, which really developed me as a person. And
yes.
So I'm avid about Scouting America, as you can probably tell.
I can tell. I'm a lifetime member of the Girl Scout movement, former executive with both Becky Thatcher and Two Rivers Councils, both which neither exist now because of consolidations. But, you know, scouting to me is just one of the best things you can get your children involved in, because sports is great. 4-H, FFA, we just heard a young man who's making a career out of agriculture. But, you know, there is a niche there for kids who love the outdoors, who want to learn new skills. You know, it's more than just camping and selling popcorn. There's a wide variety of skills that can be learned. And so the scouting movement, though, it seems that membership is on the decline. Talk about that and what we can do to improve and increase membership.
You know, actually, that's a great point. And the bottom line is, just to your point, essentially, scouting is just so important to today's youth. And I think about my own self as an example. And, you know, growing up, you just don't know what you want to do. And, you know, life's busy and confusing, and you're trying to figure these things out. And really, at its best core, scouting, you know, it develops leadership and character. And so essentially, you know, if you're one of those kids that you just haven't had a whole lot of experience through life, and you're trying to figure things out, you know, you've got the Merit Badge program, which offers all these diverse opportunities to learn, you know, things from archery to canoeing to, you know, more technical things. There's, you know, the camping opportunities that you mentioned.
Soapbox Derby.
That's right.
The Pinewood Derby. I guess it's called Pinewood Derby.
Yeah, that actually can get competitive.
Very, yes. One of my little favorite kids was a winner this year. You're right. Every kid, you know, some kids don't have the athletic niche.
That's it.
Some kids don't have the academic niche. Some kids have it all. But there's always a place in scouting for every child, including girls now. And let's talk a little bit about that. How, from when you were younger, it was Boy Scouts of America and Girl Scouts of the United States. And now the scouting movement is a co-ed thing and offered to both children. And a lot of parents love this because they don't have to split their time. They could just be dedicated volunteers to scouting, and their boys and girls can both benefit from the program. But do you have, I mean, there are times when they're separated. They're still not all together in one big co-ed movement, are they?
So, you know, essentially there's just different opportunities with the troops and the way they structure the troops nowadays. In my opinion, the Boy Scout program is so good that girls, you know, wanted to join too. And so, yes, we've had membership challenges and such, but I think it's wonderful now. I mean, essentially now girls also have the opportunity to be in the scouting program, in the Boy Scouting program. And so, you know, I've got friends that don't necessarily like it. At the end of the day, though, I think it's great to offer those opportunities to both boys and girls.
Okay. Is the number one problem with increasing membership just lack of volunteer commitment? Because if I have my kid in dance or in Little League or whatever, I can dump them off at the dance studio or the ballpark, and I don't really have to be involved. As long as I'm paying a coach or I'm paying a dance instructor, I can go about my merry way or sit there in the parking lot and, you know, do my work on my laptop or scroll through my social media screen. But Girl Scouting and Boy Scouting involves more parental involvement. It's a family activity. Is that one of the struggles you have, is trying to get more adults involved?
You know, certainly. And really, just to your point, there's so many competing interests nowadays, other great organizations. And so we need volunteers very badly. And, you know, my good friend Jason Coskins, the council president, I remember we were sitting at lunch. I was just moving back to Quincy. And he said, you know, we really are struggling for, you know, adult volunteers, because without the adults, you know, you can't perform all the activities and all the events. And so I said, you know, what do you need? And that was the first thing out of his mouth. We need people, good people on the executive board. And then we've got a lot of other things that we need just good leaders for. And so, yes, absolutely. And also, just to your point, you know, you mentioned the social media and scrolling through social media. You know, that's actually what worries, I think every generation worries about the next generation.
Right. These kids today their rock and roll music, yeah.
And so I look at my two kids, Bennett's 7 and Sebastian's 5, and, you know, they're always wanting to watch TV and grab mommy and daddy's phone and, you know, get the social media stuff and all this screen time. And it kind of scares me a little bit. And so I think that's why we need scouting more than ever today. And so getting these kids outdoors as opposed to in front of that TV screen, getting them out, engaging with other kids their own age. And it's that social experience that really carries you through life. And so I think about that all the time. I'm like, you know, even if you don't like, you know, some of the merit badges or stuff like that, you're still going to get outdoors playing with kids your own age and having fun.
Well, that's the thing. Not everybody likes every single merit badge, but that's what makes an Eagle Scout an Eagle Scout. They have to do things that expand them and that they don't necessarily enjoy, but they may find a new, you know, a new career out of that or a new hobby out of that. How can we join? Because it used to be like you joined in the fall, you know, when school started, and then you had your membership for a year and you had a series of events. It seems to me now that that still is the best way to do it, is start in the fall, but now kids can jump on any time, and there's kids that don't even register until it's time to go to camp.
That's
and
right.
So, you know, that's one mechanism that has changed. So how can parents get their kids involved? And I'll speak out there to everyone. You know, if you're single, like I was single for many years, never have had children. And my husband was a Boy Scout. I was a Girl Scout. I was a Girl Scout leader. I was a Girl Scout volunteer on the board of directors. I was the cookie chairman for all 16 counties in Northeast Missouri. That taught me a lot. And then I was a professional Girl Scout, an executive Girl Scout. So I've had a long and storied career in Girl Scouting, from being a girl member to being a volunteer leader, which is the single most important job you can have, corralling 12 little girls or boys every week and teaching them something. But there are an awful lot of people out there who are delaying having families, who are maybe delaying getting married at all, and yet they can still be very good role models, and they have a drive probably to be around kids. They just don't want to permanently be around kids. They haven't found the right person yet, or they have not decided yet that it's time to have a family. Make the appeal to those unicorns, the ones like me that don't have kids but still want to enrich the lives of children.
Absolutely, and that's the greatest part about scouting is that it's such a diverse program. We have so many opportunities to contribute. And to your point, how to join? So the local scouting program is Mississippi Valley Council. We have a great website, and essentially, if you're interested in getting your kids signed up, whether that's in Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts, you can get onto the council website and you can contact us, and we can make sure that we get an application available. And so, or just go down to the scout office. And so, make it very, very simple and affordable. There's also, you know, different scholarships to help scouters go to camp and such. And so, if you have an interest, we will make it happen, is the bottom line. But, you know, you talk about people looking to get involved. First of all, Quincy has such a rich scouting history.
Right.
I mean, it really does. It started back in the 1920s. And we are so blessed in our council to actually have two council camps, which is Camp Saukinock by Lima, and then Camp Eastman. And that's over by Nauvoo. And essentially, so very, very blessed council. And essentially, you know, everybody has their own interest. And so if you're that person, you don't have kids, but you specialize in something, whether that's horseback riding or fishing or whatever your main interest is, I will guarantee you that we have a way that you can be impactful to the youth today.
If you want to be a Girl Scout or a scouting horseback riding instructor, it is wonderful. It is fabulous. I can speak from experience there. Thank you very much to Matthew Dolman. And if you want to get your kids involved in scouting, all you have to do is call the Boy Scout office, and you've got an event coming up.
We do. In fact, one last thing. And so we have a really fun event. I have to mention. So on Friday, October 4th, we have a wine and whiskey night. And so this is to help raise money for the council. I'm the vice president of endowment for Mississippi Valley Council. And from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Quincy Country Club, the Saukinock Preservation Society is going to be hosting this wonderful event. You can get on our website, and we have a little sign-up through our rally up. It's just going to be a fun, fun time. Please come out, enjoy some heavy hors d'oeuvres, some great drinks, be around fellow scouters, or even if you're not involved in scouting.
If you like wine and whiskey.
you want to taste some of that. Show your support for the local scouting program and just have a wonderful time.
Okay, no children allowed at that event.
That's right.
The adults have to raise money for these kids, and we're doing it in a fun and way with wine and whiskey. Leave that flyer for me, and I'll be sure to put that on our community calendar.
Thank you, Mary. Throw it in my pile there. I appreciate you.
Thank you very much for your time today. We're going to head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. Rex Battery brings you this report, and then we're going to hear from the Legacy Theater. Boy, have they got some great things planned for this rest of this year and next year. Nine 43 at Talk Radio 930 WTAD, and joining me today, Tom Robbins, who's in charge of the Legacy Theater in Carthage. And they have not only got a full list of shows for the remainder of 2024, but they've also announced their spectacular first season lineup for 2025, the first 6 months. Welcome very much to the program, Tom Robbins from the Legacy Theater.
Well, thanks for having me, Mary. You know, listening to your farm market reports, I thought I'd lead with, we're up 10 for 2025 because it's our 10th anniversary year.
I love it. I love the fact that you're saying that. I want to jump ahead. We'll talk about some things that are going to happen sooner at the Legacy Theater, but I want to jump ahead all the way to Saturday, June 21st. Circle your calendar for next year. Saturday, June 21st, an evening with Kelsey Grammer, remembering the life and legacy of John Mahoney. Kelsey Grammer, Frasier. John Mahoney played his father on the Frasier program. And John's sister, Rita Mahoney Sullivan, and Dan and Casey Sullivan have put this together. A lot of people do know that John Mahoney had ties, graduated from Quincy University, has ties to our community. So talk a little bit about what this evening is going to be like, because this is going to be a very personal tribute from one actor to another actor.
Yeah, it is. You know, unfortunately, a few years ago, John Mahoney passed, and kind of an interesting story about how this whole event came to be. We have a new coffee shop across the street from the Legacy Theater, and guess what it's called? It's called Mahoney's, and because this is the family of John Mahoney. You know, he had sisters that grew up in the tri-state area, Carthage area, and I was in the coffee shop one day and looked at this wall, which was kind of a tribute to John Mahoney. I had no idea about this connection to the area and to the two colleges that he graduated from in the area, because, you know, I'm fairly new to the area, you know, Mary, as of this past December. But I was just so excited about this connection and thought, I've got to investigate what the possibilities might be. And kind of a cut to the chase, won't go through the whole story, but just connecting with the family and talking about, wouldn't it be neat to have one of the stars of Frasier come and do a tribute to John Mahoney and his character, Martin Crane. And, well, we went all the way to the top and figured out a way to bring Kelsey Grammer. So we're excited. So you asked about what the event will be. This will be kind of a laid-back, informal, we're calling it a fireside chat. We have actually yet to figure out who the interviewer or interviewers are going to be.
And, put my name in.
Okay. I will do that. So there, you know, we have that little bit of unfinished business to figure out yet, but Kelsey knows and is aware that this is an event where, you know, our main focus is kind of remembering John Mahoney. I know he's very fond, almost thought of him as a second father, even though they're not that far apart in age when you really look at it. But he became like a father figure to Kelsey. And if you've seen him do different interviews, Kelsey, about Martin, he tears up almost immediately, or I should say about John.
Right.
They were very, 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 very close. So I'm sure he's going to have great stories to tell. And what we hope to kind of intertwine with that is maybe a member of the family or members of the Mahoney family will join in with recalling some of their memories. So you'll get memories of John from a professional point of view, from a family point of view. It should be a great dynamic for an event, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. And it's next June 21st, Saturday night at 6 p.m., an evening with Kelsey Grammer, remembering the life and legacy of John Mahoney. And it's presented by the family of John Mahoney. His sister, Rita Mahoney Sullivan, and Dan and Casey Sullivan are helping to produce this show. So this is going to be, for the 10th anniversary year, definitely one of the highlights of that 10th anniversary year. One thing I've noticed.
Two other things.
Sure.
Can I mention real quick, Mary, just about that event before we move away, is that June 20th of 2025, John Mahoney would have turned 85. So we're kind of tying it in with his birthday weekend. The other thing I would say is, you know, tickets have been on sale already for a couple of weeks, and we're already 300 plus tickets sold. And, you know, we're a little over a 500 ticket venue. So I would venture to guess within the next month, it'll be full.
So, yeah, usually don't think about having to buy things a year in advance, but if you want to be part of that audience, you definitely should consider that, the Legacy Theater. And while we bring that up, how can we get tickets? You have a website.
The website is thelegacytheater.com. So buy tickets there anytime. Or if you want to call our box office, that's open 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday at 217-357-9479.
Okay. My guest today is Tom Robbins. He is the director of the Legacy Theater, and we're going to continue our conversation. I'm going to take it in a little bit different direction. I have so loved and enjoyed every performance I've seen at the Legacy Theater. Now, I have not been to your children's shows. I don't have children, and so I haven't been as interested in those things. However, having said that for myself personally, it looks like the Legacy Theater is doubling down on family entertainment. Not only are you going to have a dinosaur dig show on August 24th, but then we're going to talk about some traveling children's theater productions that are coming through. So let's start first with something at the Legacy Theater that every kid, I'm sure, would want to see. 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon, August 24th, Diggory Dinosaurs. Talk a little bit about that, because this is just a little bit more than puppets. This is enormous puppets.
This is a fun story of a paleontologist who discovers, guess what, a time machine. And it takes us back to the days of the dinosaurs, and he discovers a large egg which hatches, and it unleashes an event across the world where the dinosaurs are back. So he's got to figure out a way, the paleontologist, to get the baby dinosaur back to its mother and save the world from the return of the dinosaurs. So it's got great, big, beautiful puppets. It's got animation. You know, it's got an actor who plays the paleontologist. Just a lot of fun. And, you know, it's good for short time spans. It's a little under an hour for a show. And just should be a great way to spend the summer afternoon before the kids really get busy with school.
Let's talk a little bit about tickets, because there is a special children's ticket price.
There is. There's $15 for a children's ticket, not much more than the price of a movie nowadays. And so, yeah, we're selling the tickets. Of course, we need an adult to accompany the child, but $15 for the child ticket price. Another thing that we're doing that day, Mary, which is going to be a free activity before the show, is we've got the Quincy Children's Museum coming out. They do mobile exhibits. Again, yes. Me being new to the area, I'm discovering all the assets to the region and the wonderful arts and cultural places. And boy, this Quincy Children's Museum just seems to be a fantastic organization. So they're coming out for 2 hours prior to the show with one of their mobile exhibits. And they have a number of things that relate to dinosaurs with this mobile exhibit. So no charge for this part of the day. And we're actually even going to be doing a drawing for some tickets to some of those other upcoming family shows that you talked about, that if people come out early and enjoy this and then come to the show, the Diggory Dinosaur Show, it just makes for a great family day.
Well, I tell you what, you are right. The Quincy Children's Museum, which is just around the corner from my studio here, they're guests every month because they have so many great things happening. So again, this is Saturday afternoon, August 24th at 2 o'clock. The children's admission is $15. How much for adults?
$25.
Okay. Very reasonable for a family. I mean, after all, folks, this is a traveling show that has a high quality that is coming there, and I love it. The Dinosauroscope 3000, which is unleashed. I just think it's going to be fantastic. So, again, tickets are on sale right now for that. You can call the office at 217-357-9479 or just order them online at The Legacy Theater, The Legacy Theater. This brings me to, quickly, some other great things that you've got coming up that are just wonderful. The Inspiring Imagination series of shows. Now, these are held during the school hours time frame when children will be in school. Are they held at the Legacy or are they held in the classroom?
No, the Inspiring Imagination series, which is brand new, is a field trip program where schools come to the Legacy Theater. So the Legacy Theater has done a little bit of this in the past, but this is a full series. We've got four different titles this coming year. We've got, and some of these titles, actually, we kind of double down. We do school shows, Mary, and two school shows in a day for most of these titles. And then we'll also do a public show. So the school shows are on a weekday, obviously, and then the public show is either a Saturday or a Sunday. But we've got shows like Kids for President. We've got Winnie the Pooh. We've got a Harriet Tubman show. So it's a little history education, very important part of history. And then later on next spring, we have Alice in Wonderland. So these shows are already filling up for the school series. And matter of fact, I'll tell you, I just did the figuring. We got about 2,500 K-8 students already signed up to come to these shows this year.
Yeah,
coming up.
This is fantastic.
They're filling up fast. And, you know, the thing is, because of generous donors that give to the Legacy Theater and grants, these school shows are free to the school children that are coming. So it's a public service, and we're trying to make the most of the facilities and the programming we have to offer.
Well, public service, you are doing it and doing it in spades. And I know that I'm very, as you know, I'm very tuned into the theater world and very, very much of supporter of children's theater. That's how they get to love theater, is by seeing their first theater production. So you are doing fantastic. And there will be, you're saying that, you know, like Kids for President, Winnie the Pooh, Harriet Tubman, and Alice in Wonderland, there will be chances for the general public to also see those shows?
All of those shows except Harriet Tubman that's just a school show, but the rest of them you mentioned, there will be a public presentation as well.
A little interesting side note, I just was at Harriet Tubman's church in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. Yes, the church where she, you know, the Underground Railroad, one of the routes, ended there. And I went and took a tour of her church and talked to a member who is direct descendant of the pastor who pastored Harriet Tubman. And it's on the Canadian registry of historic places. And it was very interesting to learn more about Harriet Tubman's life, just not the Underground Railroad, but all the things she did to help people. And, of course, she spent most of her life in that St. Catharines, Ontario, escaping slavery and being in freedom in Canada. So there's so many stories to learn and so much to do, and it's just fantastic. Tom Robbins, thank you so very much for giving me your time today. Folks, if you want tickets to that Kelsey Grammer event, if you want to see the star of Frasier talking about Martin, his dad, played by John Mahoney, get your tickets today, Saturday, June 21st, 6 p.m., an evening with Kelsey Grammer. I'll throw my hat in the ring for one of the people who might be an interviewer. I have no qualifications, but Tom, I'm sure you'll give me a good review.